From ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, Leon Compton.
A few weeks ago, we started taking calls from people who were concerned about delays in getting their pensions. The delays had run out into 3 and in some cases 4 months, and incredible frustration at the challenges trying to get those calls heard. We spoke to Hank Yongan from Centrelink at the time, and I must say, to their credit, where you reported those issues, they seem in every case to have been fixed in the days since. So what's going on with that particular issue? And what about a new issue, which is going to affect people with children in care? And that is that there's a new childcare subsidy payment that starts on the 1st of July. And that, from my little ring around of interested parents this morning, there are still some questions about. If you've got those questions, why don't you join us this morning? 1300 222 936 is the number. 1300 222 936. Give us a call. Hank Yongan's here to take those calls from Centrelink. Hank Yongan, good morning to you. Nice to see you in the studio again.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
What were you going to say?
I was just going to say it's a bit nippy.
It is
colder than Canberra.
Thank you to Brian Mitchell, who spends a bit of time in Canberra and, of course, in his electorate on the East Coast. He sent us in a very frosty picture this morning in Oatlands. Thank you for that, Brian. Appreciate it. 0438 922 936. Your pictures and your questions for Hank Yongan, please, from Centrelink. Hank Yongan, based on the calls that we took a few weeks ago and your responses to them, how widespread are the problems that Centrelink has at the moment paying people what they're owed on time?
Well, look, as you know, I'm always willing to answer any of the questions that you put to me. And certainly there has been a lot of discussion about cases that have been delayed and situations which obviously we all would have hoped had have been managed better. But look, I just want to say something before I answer that question, and that is that we face some very real challenges as an organisation. We need to overhaul our systems, we need to simplify our processes, and the government for its part is also committed to simplifying the range of payments and services that we provide. So we are in the middle of a massive transformation. But whilst we're going through that transformation, we still deal with 600,000 interactions every day. We have managed 700 million digital, online and phone processes. We processed more than 3.8 million claims last year. So, you know, we're not an organisation where you can pull down the shutters one day and say, okay, tomorrow we've got these brand new whiz-bang systems and open the shutters the next day.
I understand
this
that.
This is a major 7-year overhaul of systems.
But given the economic oxygen you provide, sure, to so many people around Australia, it is also not acceptable to argue that you know, so dropping the ball is permissible.
Okay. Well,
for extended periods of time.
As I said, I'll address your question. Now, in relation to age pensions, there's a couple of facts that I need to inject into the discussion. Firstly, the median processing time for age pension is 49 days. Okay, that's the figure across the board. Now, within that number, a quarter of those claims are rejected. And they're claims that shouldn't actually be in the system. They're rejected for two reasons. One, about 25% of them, people are over the limits. And, you know, if we could have picked them up at the beginning, which is what these new processes will do, if we could have picked them up at the beginning, that's 25% of cases that wouldn't have had to go into the system, clogging up our system. There's another 60% of those rejections that are rejected because they haven't responded. Now, to our request for additional information for documents, and that adds to our delays as well. And what happened, and the reason for that 60% is that we're finding ourselves dealing with people with much more complicated financial arrangements than we did in the past. And what happens is they lodge a claim. We then hit them with additional requests for more and more information. But in the process of that, they discover they're only going to get a small amount of pension. They therefore allow their claim to lapse without telling us. And again, this is another situation where the system's clogged up, while genuine people who need our assistance are also in that waiting list.
Surely the new system, people's financial affairs are only going to get more complex, as almost everyone who retires has elements of superannuation that they've contributed, a range of different and more complex assets. Surely your new system, given that this will only get worse, is better at handling this, not struggling with it.
Yeah, well, the new system's not yet fully implemented, but let me tell you, the new system now provides for online claims. It's a new innovation that we've introduced. And the advantage of this new online claiming system, there are actually five advantages. Firstly, it pre-populates your claim with information that we already hold. And that can reduce questions from about 117 down to about 30. Secondly, if your assets are starting to indicate that you're not going to be eligible, it will actually tell you you're not going to be eligible and tell you that you shouldn't pursue the claim. And that prevents both us having been clogged up with it and also the individual at least knows immediately where they stand. But in addition to that, you can go in and out of your online claim. It outlines the documents that we need, which you have to submit before you can submit your claim. These are the things that will declog our system.
You spend a bit of time in Tasmania.
Yes.
If you go out to the Glenorchy offices of Centrelink or travel to farther-flung parts of Tasmania where our listeners are sitting this morning, you would know that there are a lot of people there who just aren't Centrelink savvy, or rather, who aren't internet savvy, but deserve help at the counter.
Well, I've got to tell you, you'd be absolutely amazed at the number of people. I always hear this refrain that people aren't internet savvy, and yet a significant proportion of people are. Older Australians are embracing new technology. They don't use smartphones, they use iPads. If you take me, for example, I'm 65 years old. Actually, I'm 66 years old. What do? My expectation is if I'm dealing with a business, I should be able to deal with them online. I've never walked into a bank for years. We're heading in the same direction. We're actually responding to community demand.
Okay. On Mornings Around Tasmania, we'll take your calls in just a moment. 1300 222 936 is the number. 1300 222 936. The unions came in and spoke to us off the back of one of our conversations and said that one of the issues is that you have been told you're not allowed to employ new staff in the public service. You've got the Abbott 2006 public service limits, I think, and that what you're doing now is increasingly moving to labour hire, and that is going to include front desk staff at Centrelink in the weeks and months to come.
Well, look, the union has its job to do, and I've obviously been looking at the sort of statements that have been made, and I have to say they're exaggerated. There's a couple of things I have to do. We have always had a blended workforce. Roughly, contractors make up about 10% of our workforce. They do not replace public servants. They supplement them. Now, it's no secret, as you say, that we have to work within our staffing levels that are defined by government, and that's the permanent public service, if you like, levels. But our overall workforce has actually been maintained over the past 4 years, because we've had the ability to bring on board contractors. And in fact, this year, our overall workforce is increasing. Prior to the budget, the government announced additional capability, contractors, totalling around 2,250. That's surge capacity to help us deal with call demand.
Are they labour hire?
Yes, they're labour hire, and we're in the process at the moment of going through those contracting arrangements.
If people turn up sick for two days in a row, are they let go in some cases?
I don't know the contractual arrangements. That sounds really surprising to me. I can't imagine that would be the case. But look, the other thing is, in addition to that 2,250, which increases our overall workforce, in the budget, the government announced another $50 million to enable us to deal with call demand.
One of the issues that was suggested to us is that you are covering up the ability of staff to actually work out how far behind somebody's request might be so that it's not possible to understand how long an issue has been in the system.
Well, that's simply not true.
So when do staff know that someone's claim has been delayed for 3 months or 1 week when they're contacted?
Yes. And look, again, you know, when we talk about these cases, of course we need to know that information, because one of the things that I always say is if someone's experiencing hardship, we need to be able to escalate that claim and move it up the queue and make sure that we deal with it. There are no cover... The sort of statistics that I'm providing you are publicly available. They're not only provided to me, they're provided at Senate Estimates. There are internal mechanisms that enable our managers and staff to see how we're progressing.
Okay, so Hank Youngen, back to the initial question. Are front-of-house staff at Centrelink offices going to be labour hire?
No. Certainly, we have employed labour hire to increase our call capability, but it's surge capability. It's within set parameters. There has never been any discussion about replacing our frontline staff with contractors.
You're on Mornings Around Tasmania. Hank Youngen from Centrelink is our guest this morning. 1300 222 936 is the number. Now, there are changes coming to the childcare support payment, and they kick off in a month from now, in fact, less than a month from now.
Yep.
If you've got some questions about that, in a moment we'll invite Hank to explain some of the common issues that are coming across his desk at the moment, because the changes might be significant for you in terms of what you're eligible for or maybe not eligible for, as the case may be. 1300 222 936 is the number if you'd like to join us this morning on that or other issues that take your fancy this morning. Frank's in Lindisfarne. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Leon.
Just briefly, please, for Hank.
An aberration in the system. It appears my brother's wife has been recognised and awarded a carer's payment, but they refuse to recognise my brother's disability, despite the fact that he's partially handicapped now and absolutely uninsurable by an employer, and yet they insist on putting him on Newstart.
Whereas he should be eligible for what payment in your assessment,
Frank? Well, he should be in his disability, clearly.
Mm. Okay. Look, the assessment for disability is really based entirely on medical evidence. Without knowing your brother's situation, he clearly, if he's applied and been rejected and you believe that decision is incorrect, Centrelink customers have very powerful appeal rights, and I would urge him to talk to us about those appeal rights. But look, the other option he should take is to talk to his medical specialists, explain to them his situation, get them to give him an indication as to whether he is likely to be eligible, because, you know, we base it on medical evidence, and he should retest his eligibility. There are two sets of rules here. There's one set of rule in relation to carer payment, care allowance, which is, you know, if someone needs care at home, then you can be eligible for the allowance. The rules around disability support pension are quite distinctive and based on medical evidence.
Thanks for the call this morning, Frank. Melissa's in Hobart. Melissa, good morning to you.
Morning. Hi, Mike. Morning, Hank.
Good morning.
Yeah, look, my question is, I qualified for carer's allowance back in 2015 after my dad suffered a range of medical conditions. It was reviewed, I believe, back in January of this year and was cancelled, which was a huge shock to me, as dad has quite a number of serious medical conditions that require me to be up there daily. I asked the question as to why it was cancelled, and apparently we didn't meet the medical criteria, which was funny to me because we met them in the first instance when the payment was first qualified and nothing had changed, and if anything there was some more medical conditions since then. So I appealed the process and went back to the same treating doctor and have now received money back into my account, but still waiting for that confirmation letter to say that I'm getting my carer's allowance, because it's definitely in my account,
mm-hmm.
but just not receiving that letter. And just wonder where the level of empathy goes for individual people, caring for people, like as you said, you know, they're going through quite a bit of hardship, and the last thing they need is to sort of make X amount of phone calls to Centrelink to ascertain when the official document will be coming through.
Okay.
Okay, look, obviously, the service that we provided you there hasn't been satisfactory. For that, I apologise. If you're willing to stay on the line and give us your details, I'll just find out myself what happened to that letter, but I'll also ensure that you receive one.
Melissa, you happy with that? Can we pass on your details? Already put Melissa on hold and we're taking her details down now. Hope that's okay. Your morning's around Tasmania. We'll take one more call and then we'll move to issues around the childcare payment and the changes that are coming up. This is Chrissy in St Mary's. Good morning, Chrissy.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
My issue is that the people who are making the medical decisions in Centrelink aren't qualified to do that. I recently had a case where I challenged a medical certificate that was provided by my daughter's GP, and to find out that it had been rejected. When I pressed about who had rejected this, they said a decision was made by a nurse. In January, even though the medical certificate was provided in March by a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Look, in fact, if you're talking about disability support pension, those assessments are actually made by Commonwealth.
I'm not talking about a disability support pension. My daughter couldn't even qualify for that because of their criteria is amazingly, incredibly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But she was provided with a medical certificate in March from a doctor and was told it was rejected because by a nurse because she made a decision back in January regarding something.
Okay, Chrissy, I'll just get Hank to provide you with a general sort of general advice on where
look,
you should go from here.
The issue, if we're talking about New Start Allowance, the issue of medical certificates is something that can at times become contentious because, of course, we need to be satisfied that a person is making genuine attempts to obtain work, and we do make exemptions if people produce medical certificates in order to do that. But Often there are limits to the length of time that a certificate can be used, and it's at those points that some sort of discretion is made in relation to the use of a medical certificate. But at the core, what's motivating us is assessing whether a person is capable of continuing to look for work.
Is it nurses that are making those assessments?
Look, to be honest, my understanding is that medical practitioners are involved in that process. I have to take that on notice. If Chrissy wants to stay on the line and provide us with her details, I can then investigate this situation, if only to satisfy myself.
You're on Mornings Around Tasmania. Hank Yongan's our guest this morning. Up next, we're going to talk about changes to the childcare support payment that are coming in from, actually, I think it'll be the 2nd of July, maybe that's the Monday, on Mornings Around Tasmania.
On ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania,
it's Mornings with Leon Compton.
Centrelink's Hank Yongan is in the studio this morning. It's 8 to 9. Hank Yongan, how significant are the changes? What are the main questions that are emerging as you get closer to rolling this out?
You said earlier that you checked with a few of your friends. I'm not surprised that they're interested in this because, in fact, the existing system, which involves a childcare benefit and then a childcare rebate, which is part of the tax system, is very confusing. The good news is that what the new system does is it replaces this conglomeration of payments with all sorts of options and how you receive them with a single fortnightly payment made directly to the childcare provider. And that's the only option that's available in the future. The new system is based on, and the reason we need people to update their information from us, and we've written to families to do it, and the good news is that about 700,000 families have already done it, and there's about 400,000 families to go. And essentially what we're asking people to do is to provide us with an estimate of their family income for next financial year. Now, this is a good time to do that anyway, because if you update your child support income, it automatically populates your family tax benefit income estimate as well. Secondly, we need to know what's called your you, an individual, and or their partner's activity level. By that we mean the number of hours they work, they're in education or training. We also need to know the status of the child and confirm their enrolment details. The good news is that this is one of the new initiatives that we've been able to develop a system custom made for this. So what we encourage people to do is register through MyGov. It's all spelled out in the letter, linked to your Centrelink account, and you can provide us this information online. It takes about 3 to 10 minutes because, like you, I've stood over people at work while they've done it to just see that the system is working.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's like all our new systems. If you go in and you find you need some more information, you can exit, go back in and provide us with the information.
Let's take a step back to people who have never had kids or kids who are much older. What are we essentially talking about here? It's that when you send your child to childcare, the federal government pays you an amount to help compensate or cover the part of the cost of that childcare each day, and it rises or falls depending on how much you and your partner earn.
Yes, that's right. And look, and what we're generally talking about is childcare centres, family daycare, or after-school care in terms. Now, for families with incomes of about $66,900, they'll get the full level of subsidy based on their income.
Even if they have two kids at childcare?
Oh, that's right, yeah. And again, I make the point, it's not made to the individual families, it's paid directly to the childcare providers. Now, from $66,950 through to about $350,000, there's a taper. And once you reach $350,000 income, the benefit actually cuts out.
You still have $400,000, so what's that, 40? You've still got 40%, 30% of the people out there that are eligible or that will be affected by these changes still need to get on board.
Yes, that's right.
Are you worried about that?
No, because... Well, obviously, we're encouraging people to do it now because the sooner you can do it. Can I also just say that tonight, if you are following Family Update on Facebook, we actually have a Q&A session from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock where you can actually ask the sort of detailed questions that you might have.
Now, will people be eligible for more money than they were used to under this new
approach? It really depends. Look, what this system is geared towards is people with higher activity rates, people that are working longer hours, and people on generally lower incomes will receive more. But certainly the overall cost of the program is higher than the current program.
Okay, to be clear, people need to go online, try MyGov, the information. You need to submit some information there. I'm told that there's a pretty easy chart that allows you to add and subtract the amount of hours that you're going to work and what you might earn that'll tell you what you're eligible
And look, if you want an indication, go to humanservices.gov.au website, scroll down to Payment Finder, click on that, put in some details, and it'll give you an estimate of how much you're likely to be eligible for.
Hank Yongan's our guest this morning. Hank, we've got you for another 3 minutes. I'm going to keep taking a couple of calls.
Sure.
Let's say good morning to Rob in Mornington. Rob, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to you. Just the qualification for a disability support pension. January last year, my darling niece passed away at the age of 36. She was breastfeeding her youngest son. She died on the lounge room floor in front of her 7 children. My sister has not, she doesn't have the ability to be able to communicate. She suffers from severe grief reaction, and the list goes on. 6 months after my niece's passing, she was told that it was time to move on and look for work. She cannot communicate. They told her she needed to see a psychologist.
Okay.
She can't talk to a psychologist about this. It's just too hard, too raw.
Rob, listen, it's an incredibly personal story. I'll ask Hank to respond briefly and provide you with the best advice he can about that.
Look, Rob, obviously, this is a very distressing situation, as you say. But look, one of the options I have available is that we could arrange for a social worker to talk to your sister and to do what we can to steer her on a course where she can be provided with some information. I mean, we can't as you can appreciate, we can't just initiate a payment without some interaction with your sister. I mean, that's the reality. But look, if you want, I can arrange for a social worker to provide intervention.
Okay, Rob, I've already popped you back on hold. If you don't mind, Catherine will pick up the call and you can pass on your details if you're happy to have that done with Hank Yongan and Centrelink. To everybody who's called, to apologies to those we can't get to. We need to do more of this, Hank, because you're very popular. Lots of people want to call in. Thank you for coming in this morning.
A real pleasure, and I'm happy to come back.